The Navy says its fleet has been working extremely hard over the past 10 years, supporting combat operations in Iraq and Afghanistan and other contingencies. That's one factor officials cite for a major backlog in maintenance, a backlog that got worse this year with the onset of sequestration. Officials originally had to cancel major maintenance activities on 23 ships. They were able to bring that number down to 8 after Congress approved reprogramming authority for the Navy earlier this year. But Rear Admiral Timothy Matthews, the Navy's Director of Fleet Readiness, says the picture is still not pretty.
And as I look at the readiness indicators of our surface ships today and the likely scenarios that we are forecasting under a sequestered budget in fiscal year 14, I am very concerned.
If sequestration continues into fiscal 2014, the Navy estimates it would have to cancel up to 64% of the ship maintenance availabilities it's currently scheduled for the year, compounding the problem even further. Given those shrinking resources, Roden told the House Armed Services Committee the Navy would have to prioritize.
Those ships scheduled to deploy in fiscal year 14 and fiscal year 15 will receive the priority for both training and maintenance dollars. The balance of our surface ships will not receive their required maintenance. If not corrected in future years, these ships will not stay in service to their projected service life, and our Navy ship count will decline accordingly.
If ships retire before their expected service life under sequestration, the Navy currently estimates its fleet would shrink from 282 today to 257 by 2020, a far cry from the 300-ship fleet the Navy's been building toward. And officials say even though they've been able to restore most of the 2013 maintenance availabilities they originally thought they would have to cut, those maintenance periods are taking longer and growing more expensive, in part because furloughs and related cuts have put a severe strain on the government oversight process for civilian shipyards. The Navy says it's lost a third of its manning for contract management and oversight at its regional maintenance centers, and as a result, it says it's seen delays for maintenance projects aboard at least 5 ships so far.
Furloughs and overtime restrictions at our regional maintenance centers are disrupting waterfront services and technical assistance to our ships, as well as government oversight of private sector work. This will result in maintenance delays and compressed training cycles that will make it difficult to meet deployment schedules and which impact the proficiency of the crews and places more stress on our sailors and their families. The ship operations accounts, which fund the replenishment of spare parts, were also reduced to stay under the mandated caps. As a result, we have seen an increase in material deficiencies and the cross-decking of spare parts, which are early indicators of readiness degradation.
The Navy acknowledges, though, that it can't lay all of its maintenance problems at the feet of sequestration. The service now acknowledges it let a decade go by with subpar maintenance procedures, in part because of a high operational tempo, but not only because of that. The service traces part of the problem to a 1999 decision to shift toward what was called continuous maintenance. The notion was that the Navy could save money and increase the availability of its fleet by performing more work aboard ships while they were in the water, as opposed to placing them in dry dock or at a pier for more comprehensive overhauls. That's led to what the Navy now estimates to be a $2 billion backlog in deferred maintenance. It's asked for more than $300 million next year to begin chipping away at the problem. It's what Rear Admiral Thomas Roden, the Navy's Director of Service Warfare, calls a poor definition of the engineered requirement to maintain ships.
We now have a good engineered requirement, and I'm confident that the money that we say we need to reset the force is what it is we need. The trick will be to continue to keep that on track. One of the problems that I foresee is if for whatever reason we delay the execution of that maintenance, as time goes on, the price to accomplish that maintenance increases in a greater than linear fashion. And so we really have to get after that reset maintenance on our ships so that we can preserve those ships to their expected service life and maintain the fleet. If we don't get after that, then we may have to look at, because of the increasing costs, having to decommission ships early, and that will reduce our fleet as we move ahead.
To build the Navy's new cost estimates for maintaining its surface fleet, Roden says his office borrowed methodologies from the Navy's submarine community.
In addition to my time on surface ships, I've also spent a significant amount of time in nuclear power, and so what we did was we pulled the processes that the nuclear power portion of our Navy does in order to determine their real requirement, and we instituted that in the surface Navy. And when we instituted that in the surface Navy, that allowed us to very succinctly get at exactly what the costs were. And so I am confident, given the fact that we have now been executing this process for about 3 years, that we do know the condition of our ships, and we have a good understanding of how to then go determine what funding must be applied.
But that funding will need to be applied to shipyards, both public and private, across the U.S. And the Navy says the technical expertise in those yards is also under threat because of sequestration and because of the on-again, off-again nature of the work in those yards in recent years because of ongoing continuing resolutions. Again, Admiral Timothy Matthews.
These are skilled artisans that we're talking about here. These are pipe fitters and welders and electricians that take years to develop those skills. If they're laid off, I would expect them to go find employment elsewhere. So if we're talking about reconstituting that capacity, we're talking about taking in apprentices and years in the making for those kind of skill sets that they're required to work independently in a shipyard. So while it would be difficult for me to project a cost, we can certainly project a reduction in capacity.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.